WKNR presents
the Keter13.com podcast.
Welcome to the Keter 13 podcast. I'm Scott Westerman, and this week we celebrate the 50th anniversary of a long-running NBC network radio show. We talk with Real Reviews host Michael Gohagan, and we'll dig deep into the Bob Seger Library. All that and more on this week's Keter Podcast.
Motor City Music.
A couple of weeks back, we featured the new beats in a Keter Music Quiz. Well, Jack wrote us to ask us if we could play another of the group's six Keter Chartbusters.
I get my kicks from watching people running to and fro. I bet if you ask them where they're going, half of them don't know, and they're the ones who think I'm crazy, but they don't realize.
Beats hit five times on Keter between 1964 and 1965, and it was 4 years later that they went to number 15 with Groovin' Outta Life. That's a request from the Keter 13 mailbag, and if you'd like to help us program the podcast with a WKNR favorite, send us your feedback. Click on the contact link at www.keter13.com.
WKNR!
From June 12, 1955 to January 26, 1975, this was one of the most familiar sounds on network radio. It's the unmistakable beacon from NBC's Monitor program. The show was born as the golden age of radio ended and became the last of the long-form network magazine programs. Like WKNR, Monitor has its own fan site at monitorbeacon.com. And when you visit, you'll be treated to a wonderful collection of sights and sounds. One of Monitor's biggest fans is Florida media consultant Jerry Trowbridge. Jerry's better known by his internet handle, PBC Liberal, but his background and his passion centers on radio. This week, he produced this Monitor appreciation, and we're glad to share it with you now.
We certainly do not want to make the mistake that radio made for several years of standing aside from the mainstream of American life, television.
This is a hell of a time to be fixing the camera.
And pretending it wasn't there. Radio must face the facts and be adult about the whole thing and realize what it is.
50 years ago, almost to the day, radio is dying. The radio stars, most of whom came from vaudeville, have either gone into television or gone into retirement. The sponsors aren't renewing, the ratings are plummeting. The future is dark. But something happened. Radio lived on.
Well, we could say something else we've repeated the number of times in the past. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
This is the story of the rethinking of radio, the rebuilding from the ground up that gave radio a second chance, the fundamental change that made an old medium a new medium that was announced in an NBC closed-circuit broadcast 50 years ago, May 11th, 1955.
Monitor, the new NBC radio service. Not a program, a continuous service running from 8 a.m. Saturday Eastern Time until midnight Sunday, perhaps beyond. And as you'll hear, it's an entirely new sound and concept. Variety, comedy, entertainment, news, sports, special events. Monitor sweeps the shortwave spectrum. Monitor brings the drama of Broadway and Hollywood. And it does these things with a format that's a complete departure, complete from programming of the past.
Because up until then, sponsors bought programs. In fact, sponsors created the programs that they thought would get big audiences to tune in at a particular time to hear their announcements.
The makers of Linnet, the bath way to a soft, smooth skin, present for your entertainment Fred Allen and his associate members of the Linnet Bath Club Review. An announcement of unusual importance to every woman in the radio audience will be made later in this program. Be sure to listen for it. And now, on with the show.
That's why Monitor was such a departure. It was a whole broadcast service designed to support what later became known as spot radio.
The pattern of placing ads at different times, and instead of spending your whole money at a time period that is your own time period in the old program sponsorship basis, you go to a pattern of positions which get overlapping audiences, and adding them all together, you will reach, again, the big audience.
For almost 20 years, from 1955 to 1975, Monitor brought back big money to radio. It sounds dated today, mostly because the commercials gave us a glimpse of a different America, where Preparation H had to apologize for itself, where Watkins tried to change the mind of moderns who weren't as anxious to invite a door-to-door salesman into their living rooms as their parents on the farm had been.
It's your good friend from Watkins, so open the door and shop right at home in your personal store.
It makes me feel, well, you know, pampered.
But what resonated with me, as with Dennis Hart, who wrote the book on Monitor and helped in this podcast, was this feeling that listening to Monitor, you were connected. The feeling you get with Wi-Fi and GPRS, or in the 90s when the dial-up modem sinks. When Monitor was born, telegrams were still big business, and a transatlantic phone call cost a few hours' salary and may have taken several hours to set up. But Monitor brought you the world in an instant, because NBC had that big money to connect you, even before the first communicator opened the mic on the first broadcast.
A few moments ago, I walked by what used to be the NBC Master Control Room on the fifth floor of the RCA building, and believe me, some changes are being made. Workmen are beginning the construction of Monitor's home base, NBC Radio Central, a communications center that will really be in touch with the world. I have the sketches here before me. An immense communicator's desk in the center. At the broadcaster's command, a battery of switches placing him instantly in touch with all the domestic and overseas pickup points. Newsroom on one side, tape room on the other, auxiliary studios. It's going to be quite a place.
The voices and sounds of the world. No big deal today, just click the mouse. But not in 1955. Except in the mind of Pat Weaver. Yeah, he's Sigourney's dad, and he's most famous for developing the Today Show for NBC TV. He, along with Jim Fleming, are the people we hear describing Monitor in this closed-circuit broadcast designed for NBC radio affiliates in advance of the show launch, June 12, 1955. But I think his brightest stroke of brilliance was seeing the wired world at least 40 years before the Internet. If you listen to this Dartmouth-trained classics scholar without knowing that it's 1955 or that he died in 2002, it almost sounds like he's describing RSS news aggregation in ways the masses can understand.
They need not be alone, and they don't have to sit there looking at the television set. They can turn this service on, and in will come the flow. It will be like having a personal editor who would go out and listen to everything, read everything, know everything, and then be there at your as your little tame cap and bells jester with the whole range of moods, telling you the very best of everything that's happening.
It's easy to see the world as a cauldron of constant change, but it's an illusion, because our dreams, our aspirations, our paths to enlightenment are remarkably similar across cultures and across time. If you listen to Monitor from 1969, for instance, it doesn't take but a few changes to make it a story from the information services today.
Well, I think considering the fact that Mr. Nixon barely won the election, that he should travel around his own country and get the opinions of his own people as to why he, you know, barely made it, and before he goes, you know, trotting off to Europe.
Of those interviewed by College Poll, 72% said they felt the United States made a mistake going into Vietnam, as it did, but they felt that pulling out without a just peace would only compound what they regard as an error.
That's just my opinion on the Monitor Beacon.
Jerry Trowbridge with his appreciation of NBC's Monitor. You can find other incisive commentary from the PBC Liberal over at openpodcast.org. And now, a request for some rare Michigan rock.
WKNR.
Take off your shoes, throw away your blues. You paid your dues, no what? Summer is in, why interfere? Go drink a beer, no what? You must realize that you need in your touch. Resynthesize your own ego. You must recognize that life's just a circle. Now let's go on with the show. Hoist up your sail.
In 1972, Bob Seger told Cream's Dave Marsh that this song was about laying back, having fun, and letting others do the work for a while. But in the last line in the lyrics of Noah, we're reminded that the rain is coming and we better build a boat. That's a Keener 13 request for a listener in Dearborn Heights.
Podcasting.
Michael Gohagan is host of two of the most popular podcasts on the web. His Grape Radio podcast is a favorite for wine enthusiasts around the world, and his weekly love letter to the movie industry, Real Reviews, Films Worth Watching, is at the top of my iPod playlist. When we talked, Michael had just returned from a guest shot on podcast brother Tim Borkwin's show, where they talked about their experience at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Las Vegas.
The NAB show was exciting because it's obvious that podcasting is starting to make some inroads among a lot of the people that are actually producing some of the equipment that podcasters have been purchasing, as well as the fact that a lot of people that sell products to radio are starting to pay attention to it. It wasn't universally acknowledged. Not everybody knew about it, but frankly, I was surprised more people knew about it than I would expect.
Were there other podcasters there besides you?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I was there with Tim Berkwin, who does the Podcast Brothers. There were a number of people offering podcast solutions, I guess you would call them, for converting radio content into podcasts, but I don't know of any other podcasters that were attending the show itself.
Well, you're a lifelong film buff. Is that connected to your day job?
Not at all. I own insurance marketing companies, but film's just always been a passion of mine. Never one that, just beyond being a fan, I've never done print, reviews or journalism or anything like that. But, when podcasting came along, it was obvious that that was just going to be a great way to, kind of share my appreciation for film. And, a lot of times I'll be out with some of my friends at night and I'm trying to convince them they need to go see this great movie. And, after a while, they're kind of done hearing about all the great movies I'd like them to see. So in this case, I get to put it out there on the internet. And, a lot of people seem to have taken to it and enjoyed. I got a lot of positive feedback on the films that I've talked about.
What's the perfect length for a podcast?
If you were to go back and listen to the very first few Real Reviews I did, some of them were maybe 8 to 10 minutes at the time. And I kept trying to put more content in there. I figured out, just through some feedback from listeners, the kinds of things that people seem to pick up on in the reviews. So I tried to put a lot more backstory behind how the films were made. And it seems to have settled somewhere around 16 to 18 minutes, unless it's just a film I'm really fascinated with. And I think that anything under about 20 minutes becomes very accessible, whether it's getting on an exercise bike, which a lot of people ride for 20 minutes, or commuting. Once you kind of go past that 20-minute barrier, you are now competing in the realm where you're competing with shows that basically people can only listen to one or two shows a day, maybe, that are 30 or 40 minutes long, short of somebody just sits there and listens to them all day long. But for example, Adam's show is generally about 40 minutes. Well, you can only have so many 40-minute shows you listen to if you work in a regular work environment where you can't be listening to the your iPod all day long. So
how important is the size of your audience?
You're going to get some people that accumulate large audiences. But the real power of what's going on is, even if you have something that just has 500 people worldwide that care about, that could never, you would never be able to get a standard transmission on terrestrial broadcasting or cable, that kind of thing. Now that you can actually do that and talk about something they're enjoying, they can pull it from wherever they are in the world. And so it's really that narrowcasting, I think, is equally as exciting as some of the shows that are going to start to accumulate extremely large audiences.
That's Michael Gohagan, the host of the Real Reviews podcast. Hear him on the web at www.realreviewsradio.com. You can hear a more extended conversation with Michael in a future edition of the Spartan Podcast. If you haven't heard it, check it out at www.spartanpodcast.com. And that's this week's Keener 13 Podcast. Bob Seger fans can find a wealth of information about Ann Arbor's favorite son on the web at www.segerfile.com. And if you're in search of Noah or any other song you heard during the golden age of WKNR, send an email to Detroit's foremost music detective, John Freest. His address is FreestJohn at sbcglobal.net. Thanks to Michael Gohagan at Real Reviews Radio for being our guest on the show, and to Jonathan Wolford at Jam Creative Productions for giving us permission to use all the great Keener jingles. Visit Jam on the web at jingles.com. The Keener Podcast is fully licensed by ASCAP and BMI. We record the show with Adobe Audition and host it at Bluehost.com. Support the Keener website when you buy your music through the links you'll find at www.keener13.com. All proceeds help us maintain the site and pay for the bandwidth so we can keep bringing the Keener 13 Podcast your way. And thank you for being a part of our WKNR family. Click the contact link on the site and send us your music requests and your feedback. We leave you with another Michigan native who still hunts for his own food on his huge spread near Jackson. Despite the perception that this one is a drug anthem, Ted Nugent claims to have never smoked a single joint. He says the song is about looking inside yourself, using your head, and moving forward with your life. And that's good advice. I'm Scott Westerman. Thanks for listening.
Cares behind, come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind. Come along if you care, come along if you dare, take a ride to the land inside of your mind. Beyond the seas of thought, beyond the realm of what, across the streams of hopes and dreams where things are really not. Come along if you care, come along if you dare, take a ride to the land inside of your mind. But please realize, you'll probably be surprised, for it's a land unknown to man where fantasy is back. So if you can, please understand, you might not come
in Holo.